Well, good morning. It is it's especially good to be with you. For those who don't know, I was in Southeast Asia until early on Friday morning. So it's about time for bed for me. So pray for me, but I'm doing pretty well. It's very strange to come back. Like I was pulling into the church parking lot this morning and I could hear birds and there was no people and you could just see the rolling, like it's amazing to be here after being in Southeast Asia because I think there's more people than there are square feet in Southeast Asia. So we live in such a beautiful place. Amen. Like we're so blessed. I'm so thankful to be back with you all. You all are my family. So thank you guys for your support and for caring for me as I went. So just wanted to say thank you. There should be a connect card in the pew back in front of you. We gather together as a staff each week. We pray over every single one of those connect cards that we get. So if you have a prayer request, if there's something you'd like to share with us as a staff, we'd love to hear from you. We have our welcome team out front. They'd love to meet you, to greet you. We have a gift for you if you're new. But really, our goal is to be praying for our church body. So make sure if you have a prayer request to include that. We do have a couple announcements for you this morning. Our men's breakfast and devotional will be gathering on Thursday, May 21st, 6 a.m. Pastor Tyler here is going to share with us, so I'm excited to hear from him. So you don't want to miss it. Come out, eat breakfast with us at Yoder's Banquet Hall, 6 a.m. on Thursday. Also, we're doing something special for Greenview Bible Camp and Little Mahoning Bible Camp this month. So if you'd like to designate an envelope or a check for camp offering, the deadline for that is May 22nd. We'd love to, you know, we do this each year where we support our camp ministries that have blessed us so mightily. So make sure you do that. And then next Sunday is Memorial Day weekend, May 24th. So we're not going to have any adult Bible fellowships during the 9:30 a.m. hour. Instead, we're just going to eat pancakes. That sounds like fun to me. So come to the gym. We're not going to really even have a program or anything like that. It's just going to be come to the gym, hang out for a while, grab some pancakes. I'm sure we'll have some good toppings and things, and fellowship with one another. There might be some little cards on the tables that have some questions to ask one another, things like that. So make sure to stick around after church next. So if you plan to come to the 8:15, it'll be after church next Sunday. Also, there's an insert in your bulletin that says save people, serve people, and I think this has something to do with Pastor Aaron's message this morning, but we always want to be thinking about ways in which we can connect you with service opportunity. We have our VBS coming up. We have so many opportunities. We've kind of shifted how we do welcome and hospitality recently. Our coffee's now out in the lobby. There's opportunities to serve there. We have so many opportunities for you to get involved. So please, if you're willing, it says please fill this out and hand it to an usher as you exit the sanctuary. If there's something that you would like to serve in, we'd love to have you be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Fellowship Church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we're so thankful, Lord. We live in a country where we're so blessed, where we have freedom to come and gather in your name and worship you, where we also have the ability to serve you throughout our week, God, where we can be open and proclaim your word to our friends and family members. We're so blessed, God, to even just have space to think and space to look out at beautiful landscapes. And Lord, you've given all that to us. We don't want to take that for granted, Lord. We give it all back to you. We pray that we would honor and glorify and serve you with our lives. God, we give up all these things that we're doing, whether it's men's breakfast or these camp ministries, God, or even just fellowships that we do as a church. May those not just be for us to have fun or for us to enjoy, Lord, but maybe truly and I guess with our whole hearts serve you as a result. God, we give it all to you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Lord, we have so many reasons to praise you. Thank you for your creation that points us to you and your love. We thank you for all that you do in our lives. We are so unworthy. We love you, Lord. We lift up our praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for singing. You can have a seat.
It is great to be with you folks today. Looking forward to seeing how God's going to work in our hearts today, and I'm excited to do it. So I wanted to just, you know, talk a little bit more about what we've been talking about, Jesus the storyteller. He was an amazing storyteller. He explained so many important things in our lives using these different stories that affected and spoke to the people that were there, right? It was about their time, who they were, looking at it in context and how these people heard from Jesus to be able to understand this is how we live. And even though the times are different, the stories are still so applicable in how we should live our lives, how we should walk each day as a follower of Jesus. And so today we're gonna see how Jesus feels about excuses and how they can affect our eternal state in life. We're gonna just start out by reading the passage today. It's in Luke chapter 14. I'm reading from the ESV, so follow along in your Bible or on your Bible app, or the scriptures will be on the screen behind me as well, starting in verse 15 of chapter 14. When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" Starts out with, when one of those who reclined at the table heard these things. So we hear that, heard these things, which means we need to understand what things did he hear, right? We want to look at this in context. So we're gonna take a look back and see just exactly what this dinner was, who was at the dinner, and what was being said, what was going on in the dinner, because it's really important to understand it, to understand why Jesus is telling this story about this particular banquet. Luke 14:1 says, "One Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully." So here's this place that Jesus is eating dinner, right? He is there. And listen, it's not just the house of a Pharisee. It's a house of a ruler of the Pharisees. So we're talking upper echelon here. We're talking high. We're talking the greatest of the great in man's eyes. And the people who would be invited to eat dinner at a place like this would fit that category. These would be the wealthy men, other Pharisees. And so they brought Jesus in, and I love this line where they say, and they were watching him carefully. I think they brought Jesus in for the show. They brought Jesus in so they could find ways to trip him up. They brought Jesus in so that they could find ways to condemn him. And so here's this dinner that Jesus has been invited to with these, you know, the best of the best, and they are watching him carefully. And so this conversation begins about healing on the Sabbath. And keep in mind, this is on the Sabbath. And there was a man that was at this dinner who had dropsy. And listen, that is not a disease that the Dallas Cowboys wide receivers have. Just, that's not what that is. It's different. Dropsy was an edema. It was a bloating and a water retention. It's what we call edema now. So this dropsy, this guy has dropsy, and he's not doing well. He's very sick. And remember, they're watching him carefully. And in their eyes, you don't do anything like this on the Sabbath. And Jesus heals this man with dropsy. And it's the verse that gets brought out so often, right? Now, verse 5 in chapter 14. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" Jesus is taking their Pharisaical rulings and saying, listen, it's about loving people. It's about caring for people in need. And so that's the beginning of this dinner. And then it goes on. And he tells them another parable. In verse 7, it says, "Now he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor." So here's these people, all high on themselves, all very self-righteous, and they're finding and picking the best places to sit. And so Jesus then tells the parable of this place of honor with the banquet, and the people come into the banquet and they sit at the place of honor. And then someone comes in who deserves that place more. And so that person has to get up, has to move to a different place so the person who deserves it more can sit there. And the person loses and he is shamed in front of all the people. He says, what you should do, you should lower yourself and be willing to come in and sit at the lowest place. So you sit in the lowest place. So then the guy who's running the banquet, the place that is his place, he comes in and says, listen, no, you should move up here. You belong here. And then you get honor in front of all those people by having the right heart and starting out in the low places. Verse 11, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So having the right heart, right? So this is the context that we're seeing before we get into our passage. Then Jesus shares one more parable on who you should be inviting to come to dinner. Chapter 14, verse 12. He said also to the man who had invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. So Jesus is saying, listen, don't go out and invite people so that you can put the who's who of whoever on your list at your table so that when they have a dinner, they'll invite you and you can be a part of the who's who. Jesus is saying, no, that's not what it's about. Go out and find the people that are in need and invite them, the lame, the cripple, the blind, the poor. Go and invite them and let them experience this beautiful thing of fellowship and community and dinner, knowing that they can't repay you because your reward is not here on this earth. Your reward is later, and Jesus will reward you. So that's the context. We've got a bunch of self-righteous guys who think they're it. They think they're the important people. And they've been showing it the whole night. They've been kind of watching Jesus specifically to trip him up. And then we get this guy who's probably not real happy with the stories that Jesus has told. He's a guy who wants to be known. He's a guy who wants to be sitting. And it says he's reclining at the table next to Jesus. I just see it like oozing off of him in that sentence. I'm right here next to you. Now, let me tell you what I'm going to see, right? You can see how Jesus is working. And what he says, when one of those who were reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." He's saying, I'm going to be there. I'll be there and I'll be blessed. It's not It's not the poor and the lame and the crippled and the blind. No, I'll be there. And so Jesus says, well, no, I got another story for you. Probably not going to like it either, but let me tell you. And so when we look at this, we see that Jesus wants us to be about inviting the cripples, the poor, instead of the rich. And so he asserts to Jesus that he wants to be at the table of the kingdom of God, this self-righteous man. But, verse 16, but he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. And so we look at these excuses, right? The first said to him, I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. So the first excuse is, I've bought a field, I need to go tend to it. Can you please excuse me? The second excuse, another said, I have brought 5 yoke of oxen and I need to go examine them. Please have me excused. Bought oxen. He needs to go and make sure that his purchase is good. He needs to care for them and take care of them. I need to go examine them. Please have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. You know, we look at these excuses. These are valid, right? They're valid reasons. These aren't like lame things. You know, I'm sorry, I'm going to go watch a football game. I don't think they did that then, but I couldn't come up with a lame excuse other than that one. These are legit excuses. They're legit reasons that they're talking about, right? The first one, he's made an investment. Something that's really important. We're supposed to be good stewards of our funds, right? We're supposed to. And so he's saying, look, I've made this investment. I need to go check on this. I need to make sure that things are okay so I can't make it. The second one, it's work. It's his job, right? Probably a farmer. I got to take care of the oxen. I got to do this. You can't just let them go. I've got to be there to help them and take care of them, right? That's a legit reason for work. The last one, it's family. I mean, right? Family. That's a very important thing. Listen, family's huge. You should be taking care of your family. It's kind of the church I was at when I was pastoring in South Dakota, the rule was, listen, on staff, it's God first, family second. And you take care of your family and you love your family. It's so important. So important. So that's legit, right? That's a legit reason, an excuse to say, I can't make it, right? Jesus didn't like those excuses, though, when it came to the kingdom of God. Remember? God first, family second, then work. That's the order of priority. And so Jesus explains, listen, this banquet that you're being invited to is about your eternal state. This banquet is about the fact that I want all of these people to come and join me in heaven, is what he's really saying in this parable. And we're going to see that as we move on, right? Verse 21, so the servant came and reported these things to the master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. If these guys don't want to come and they don't want to be a part of this, well, then we're going to go out and we're going to invite others. And I want you to go out and I want you to invite the least of these and bring them in to come into the banquet. That's what I want to see. They don't want to come, we'll go and get the people who really need Jesus, and they can come, and they can join in the banquet. He's bringing about a shift in culture, right? The religious people, the Pharisees, they didn't see it that way. In fact, the lame, the crippled, the poor, they were not only just looked down upon, but they were excluded in many cases. They weren't allowed. They were considered unclean. There must have been a problem. That's why they're crippled. Must be something sinful in their life. There must be something that they've done against God for them to be the way they are. And so Jesus, in this story, is literally bringing about a shift in culture. This was the Old Testament rules. We are now under the age of grace. We are under the new covenant that's coming up, and it's going to be with what he knows to be his sacrifice on the cross. And this is who needs to be invited. And who is this that needs to be invited? Everybody. He tried. He tried to get the people who were self-righteous. That was first, right? You want to go? You don't want to come? Well, this is who we'll invite. But it gets more. It's better. It's better, right? So as he makes people uncomfortable, he goes on and he says in verse 22, "And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled.'" My house may be filled. Go out. Listen. Find anybody and everybody, and let's get them into my house. We want this house to be filled. We want them to come to this banquet and be a part of this banquet. How beautiful. What a beautiful picture. As I was reading that, it reminded me of some scripture passage that where it talks about his house. John 14, verses 1 to 3. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am." My Father's house. Some of you probably started singing, and there's a big, big house with lots and lots of room where we can play football. See, football is, it's part of God's plan, I'm pretty confident. It's my Father's house. And this banquet parable, he's saying, I want my house filled. And what Jesus is talking about here in John, he's saying, look, I'm going to make this house for you, for everyone. That is the beauty of the gospel. Even the self-righteous are invited if they could let go of their self-righteousness and believe in Jesus and trust in him. The rich, the lame, the poor, the crippled, the people who have committed horrible things and been in prison, all are invited to his house. And what does it say? He tells the servant, I want you to go out and compel people to come. We're the servants here, folks, in this thought process. We compel people to be a part of the kingdom of God, to spend the eternal presence with God. That's what he's talking about. What happens when you reject? For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Do you understand what's on the line? People's lives. Not their lives here on this earth. Certainly a part of it. But their eternal life. Listen, we are going to all spend eternity somewhere. It's going to happen. Where you choose to spend it is based on who you've put your trust and belief in. You can have the eternal presence of God, which is heaven, or you can have the eternal separation from God, which is literally hell. It's going to happen. There's no way around it. Jesus is telling them, look, reject my invitation, throw out a bunch of lame excuses compared to what I'm offering you, and you will lose out. It's that clear. That the passage that we read about his house in John chapter 1 or 14, it goes on, and Thomas says right after, because Jesus ends that part with, "And you know where I am going." And Thomas, the guy who doubts, right? He says, "But Jesus, how do we know where you're going? How do we know?" And then Jesus replies with the verse that defines the most important thing, John 14, 6 and 7. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Jesus again is declaring the Trinity. I am God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You have seen God because you have seen me. You know God. And I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is telling them, listen, what I'm about to do, it's the only way you can get there. And whether these self-righteous men wanted to recognize it or not, they were dining with God. And they didn't see it. Why didn't they see it? Because all they could do was see themselves. And they missed out. How awesome to have dinner with God. And they lose it. And they lose it because they can only see themselves. What's this mean to us? Well, the first, most important thing is, have you accepted the invitation to the banquet? Or have you thrown out excuses? Maybe later. After I finish this, after I've made enough money to do this, after I've been able to find the right job, whatever your excuses, there is no excuse that can qualify for missing out on the banquet. None. Romans tells us that we have all sinned, every single one of us, and we fall short of God's glorious standard. And that's why Jesus came to this earth, gave his life, became a man, lived a sinless life so that his sacrifice could cover our sins. And if you haven't accepted the invitation to the banquet, man, today is the day. Drop the excuses and step into what Christ has done for you. Whether you are rich, poor, crippled, healthy, none of it matters if you don't have Jesus. That's the first. The second thing that we need to look at is, do we truly see the gospel is for everyone? Think that through. Don't just answer, because I know it's almost instant in your heart to say, well, yes, of course. But do we really, truly welcome everyone? I may have shared this already, but we had a ministry to a halfway house in the church in Sinking Spring where I was a pastor. And we would literally take a bus and go down and pick up men who were living in the halfway house, which is a place where when you get out of prison, but you're not really free yet, so you're still kind of in prison, but you have a little more freedom. And so we would go down and we would take the bus and we would literally fill the bus with men from the halfway house and bring them back to Calvary in Sinking Spring. Many people loved them and welcomed them. It was amazing to me how many people were mad that they were there. Out of fear. Do we really believe the gospel is for everyone? If someone walked through this door and they didn't quite look like us, do we welcome them? Do we want them here? Do we want them at the banquet to dine with Jesus? Sorry. Are we willing to go out and seek them? Are we willing to go out and find them, to invite them to the banquet? Not just welcome them if they come, but go out and get them to come and say, hey, you need Jesus. Come, be a part of this. Doesn't matter if you're lame, crippled, poor. Doesn't matter if you've lived a life that isn't exactly following God. In fact, man, that's even better. Let's transform that life. Let's see the new life that comes because Jesus is in your life. Are we willing to go out and seek them, to bring them into the banquet so that they can be there, so that we can fill our Father's house? And third, and I'm gonna be willing to own this. I may be pulling a little more or reading a little more into this than I should. So just saying that right now. But I believe it's there, and so I'm going to share it with you. The invitation that is to come to this banquet comes also with an invitation to do good, to serve God. And it talks clearly in Scripture that there is rewards based on if we do good. Now listen, folks, hear me. I want to be very, very clear here. I don't want anybody to walk away on not understanding. The good works have nothing to do with your eternal state. If you've trusted in Jesus and you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and you believe in the resurrection of Jesus, you will spend eternity in the eternal presence of God. Got that? Everybody hear that really clear? But when we get there, it does talk about that we will be rewarded by what we do as a believer in Jesus. Revelation chapter 22, verses 10 through 12. And he said to me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done." This is talking about the judgment seat of Christ, where the believer will be judged. Recompense will be repaid, whether it's good or bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 speaks clearly to it. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." The invitation to the banquet is there, and if you accept it, you get to go to the banquet. But there is an invitation to do good. And there is payment based upon that good. And that's where I believe we can take this parable of excuses and ask ourselves, are we serving people or are we throwing out excuses? One of the core values that I've kind of taken from, well, with me through the churches I've been a part of is one of them is saved people serve people. It's easy to say. Sometimes it's hard to do. Saved people serve people. Are you serving people? This church has so many opportunities, and to be honest, we have some open holes that we need filled, and we need the people of our church to step up and start serving. There are a lot of people here who serve, and praise Jesus, thank you, God, for those that do. But if you come on a Sunday and you love the preaching, great, thank you. You love the worship, great, thank you. You love the ABF where we get to learn more about God, great, thank you. There's a reason why our mission is building up to reach out. There's a purpose behind it. The building up is great, but if we're not serving, we're missing. And on the back of that sheet, there's great opportunities to serve. Children's ministry, youth ministry. In our children's ministry, Julie and Jason, coming up this fall, are going to have some pretty big holes. Some people have moved. Some people have been serving a long time and they're stepping down. Our ministries are growing and so they need more people. And they're asking for you. Listen, if you would be interested, check that box and pray about it. They're not asking you that. If you check a box here, folks, you're not signing up. I want to be really clear. You're not. You're just saying, I'm interested. And then you can talk about it. You can pray about it. I'm hoping everybody steps into some action with this paper today. And somebody will contact you. You may look at that and go, coffee team, is that important? Yeah. Not because I love coffee. And folks, we serve really good coffee here. I'm just going to be honest. I stayed away from it because church coffee usually is kind of like, eh. This is really good. Well, two things when a new visitor comes into a church that they're looking for. Whether this is good or bad, it is the truth. Kids ministry, and do they have coffee? It's true. And we want to welcome people. We want people who walk through the door to see we love them and they got something for them. And we need help on the coffee team. We've kind of expanded that ministry and we need some help. Welcome team, greeting people as they walk through the door, making them feel comfortable the moment they step through those doors. So important. So important. And our ushering, technology, you can see it, the list. I'm asking for you to just say, yeah, I'm interested. And then you can fold up your little sheet and you can hand it to the ushers as you go out the door and somebody will contact you. And you can pray about it still. It's not a, I'm signing up. I want you to pray about it. I want you to know that God is leading you to do it so that you have joy in the serving. But saved people serve people. And if you're not serving, that's a problem. We're going to sing the song Gratitude. Says, I've got one response. I've got one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. Service is worship. No more excuses. When we sing the song, if you have not accepted the invitation to the banquet and you want to join, you want to be a part of the eternal presence of God, I will be down front and I would love to pray with you and walk through that with you and bring you into this incredible fellowship and banquet that you can be a part of. Or maybe you've just been throwing out excuse after excuse after excuse to not serve and you want to let it go today and you want to let it go and you want everybody to know I'm walking into this service. Come up, man, and I will rejoice with you as we pray to walk into it. But as you sing this song of gratitude, let's give him all that we've got. Because saved people serve people. And there's a banquet that we need to get a lot of people to because there's a lot of room and he wants his house full. Please stand and sing Gratitude.
Service is
worship. We need to be saved people who are serving people. We need to, no more excuses, step into what God's called us to do. So let's walk out these doors and let's be the gospel. God, thank you. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus. You came, you gave your life, you sacrificed for us so we could come to the banquet. We just praise your name for that. Now, Lord, I pray that we would compel others to come and be a part of that banquet, to love you and worship you and serve you. We pray that in your son's incredibly awesome, powerful, holy, precious name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for being here. Have a great afternoon.